Okay, so we're recording.
Yay,
Hi,
Okay.
this is Kelvette with the Meanwhile Podcast, and this is my very first guest, and I'll have her introduce herself, but she is absolutely amazing, and I'm very excited. And it was mandatory that she be my very first guest on the podcast.
Well, thank you for that. So I'm Jody, and I am a mental health therapist, a licensed professional counselor in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm really excited and honored that you chose me as your first guest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had to pick you as my first guest. I just feel like you are exactly what this podcast is about, and your energy and your name and what you stand for are exactly what this is about. So, well, let me go back a step. Jody has an Instagram. Can I say your Instagram?
Yes, you can say my Instagram. Follow me.
Or is it just is what it is?
I hadn't determined that, but I think the fits me.
Okay.
The.
It's the Fat Therapist at Instagram or wherever. And I thought that
Yeah.
was like the best name. So what made you
Thank
pick that as
you.
your IG name?
Well, it's in the name. So I am fat and I'm a therapist, a mental health therapist. And I was searching for something that really described me. And I had a different name prior to choosing this that also described me because it was something to do with singing and I love to sing, right? But as I've gotten older, I'm trying to be more political, and I feel like our bodies are very political. And so, fatness is something that really describes me. And my career is also something that I'm very passionate about in helping people. So I wanted to marry those two things and maybe create like a brand or an identity for myself. And so the Fat Therapist was born.
And that's I can like hear people's gasps and like surprise that you're using the word fat. Like I'm like people are like gasp,
She
clutch
called
pearls.
herself fat. She's not fat.
Yes.
She's fluffy, right?
Right. Anything
Yeah.
but that.
Right. Yeah. And fatness is something that I do identify with. I've definitely shied away from it in the past, but as I said, growing in my own identity has helped me to kind of claim that word. And it's certainly not my, it's not, it's, I'm definitely not like at the forefront of the movement. I'm just jumping in. I've always been fat, but there was a time when I was uncomfortable with the word fat and being called fat. And when people would call me fat, I would, my heart would drop. I would feel like I was gonna vomit or something. But I have followed some wonderful pioneers in the like plus size movement and body positivity overall. And I feel like it's something now that I can own, and I really am proud to be fat. So that had to be a part of the name, but I know that, like you said, a lot of people gasp at that still.
Yes, very much so. And I that well, that is why I also relate to the name. Like that's two things that I am proud of, that are part of me, that I am accepting, that make me who I am. And that's why I just felt like that's very special. And I actually know her in real life. So it's not like I just like went online and picked somebody, which I mean, I'm not opposed to doing, but like, I
Right.
actually know you. I know Jody, the
We
fat
actually know
therapist.
each other. And we're both fat and we're both therapists. So look at that.
Yes, two
I
things
just
right
got the
there.
name before you.
Yes. So I love what you're saying about just the movement and how kind of in a sense, like reclaiming the word or accepting the word or having the word be part of who you are and not shying away from it, you know?
I'm snapping over
Because,
here with you.
Oh, you're snapping.
I can snapping on that. Yes.
Yeah. Because
it's a process, though, right? Did you come to your acceptance of the word quickly, or was that something that you grew into?
Well, it definitely was something that it actually is very recent that I'm comfortable even being and saying and accepting fat as part of my identity. I think it wouldn't be probably within the last 4 or 5 years that I'm like, wait a minute, not only is that part of who I am, but in a way it's part of what makes me who I am and what makes me unique and special. And that doesn't mean that other parts of me are less special because of that. Sure. It just means that that's part of who I am. And by that being, that's my identity, and that's, mm-hmm. and that's okay. And I think that that's what this podcast is supposed to be about. It's about some things that are not necessarily traditionally looked at, taking those things and kind of looking at them and being curious about them, exploring them, and coming to different understandings for them. And that's what I had to do with being my size. Like being fat for me wasn't something that was easy to come to terms with. You know, like I said, just the past 5 years, being part of a body positive community and a plus size world has really helped that also.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm so on board with that.
Yeah.
It's a nice feeling to learn to love the body that you're in, you know, and of course there are struggles, but it's like having a basic acceptance of who you are is really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so part of what brought me to Jody was, how we met, and then the next thing that happened, like that was like very interesting. So yes. Can I tell how we met? Can I tell when I saw you?
Yes, okay. Please do.
When I saw Jody, she was walking into the room in a t-shirt that was tied up in the front, and she had on some like really cute fitted jeans. I think they had a cuff. Yep. And her shirt had a big red heart on it. And like I said, it was tied up in the front and it said, fat bitch. And I was like, well, sure what? What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Where does one even get that shirt?
Well, you see, I got it online. There's this wonderful influencer on Instagram called Fat Girl Flo. And she sells the shirts. She has a lot of really cool shirts. And so, unfortunately, there wasn't a shirt in my size. So I bought a shirt that was too small for me. And I said, I'm making this thing work. So I tied it up and showed my belly off in the front.
So,
which is something I like to do when I go to bashes because I feel free there. So my belly was out.
Very much so, to the point where I was like, she bought that shirt like that. Like, I thought it was a style. You bought it on the rack. It was the fat bitch essentials. I was like, yes.
Fat bitch essentials. I love it.
Yeah. So, and at that point I was like, wow. So the next time I saw her, we were at breakfast and, yeah. So then we talked about the fact that she was presenting a workshop at the time. I think it was workshops about anxiety at any size. And I thought that was such an interesting topic to discuss. And you were presenting it with, I can't think of his name at this second.
His name is Patrick Gresham.
Yes.
And he is, yes. Hey, Patrick. He is, he's a psychiatrist out of Michigan and, he's one of my great friends. And, so we've partnered together a few years doing this, this workshop on anxiety at any size at the bash. And I don't know if the listeners will know what a bash is, but I guess you can go into that at whatever point you want to or not.
that's a whole nother bash topic in itself.
Okay,
a whole nother podcast in itself.
So we have the presentation set up as a workshop style. So we like sit with the attendees and we talk about how people basically cope with being fat, like, and how that kind of couples with anxiety. We know that anxiety is one of the leading like mental health disorders in the United States. And so it's no surprise that fat people are also burdened by it. But I think there are some special challenges in being fat and some heightened anxieties in relation to being a fat person sometimes. And so it's really like a safe space to kind of process those things. And so we talked about, you know, in the group about how people have individual ways of coping with it and what sort of things they deal with specifically and how they help themselves or how they've gotten help with that. And then we also, because Patrick has a really strong interest in like the neurobiology aspect, he talks a lot right. about that in the presentation. So he kind of gives some education so that people are informed on like what's actually happening to your body and why it happens that way. So I think it's a pretty cool topic, you know, and something that has been well received in the community. So
it's interesting.
I don't know, you went to it. Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that it's a very interesting intersection. And I think that fat, whatever you want to call it, is like here, and then anxiety is here. And people don't a lot of times associate their anxiety as being warranted. Right. And there's a lot that goes into that. And I thought that was why it was so interesting to me. And yeah. also the feedback of the people that were part of the discussion made it really rich. It was like an opportunity to hear a lot of different perspectives. And Patrick's knowledge on, like you said, the neurobiology is very interesting. And I think it made a huge impact in how people were able to discuss the topic.
Right.
You know what I'm going to ask? Can I, you know how they have show notes on the yes. page? Can I post the show notes of the workshop that you guys did?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course you can.
Yeah, I think that'll be very interesting. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think now we're kind of going to go into anxiety and maybe a few things that you guys talked about in the workshop. And then for our listeners and everybody that's a part of this, how to kind of like know what anxiety is and maybe some things that we can do to deal with our anxieties. So,
yeah,
I'll start with that. I mean, so what, how does someone know if they have anxiety? Like, what are some of the signs of anxiety?
Well, so typically anxiety can be recognized by a person. It sort of like manifests in different ways. So some people feel it really strongly emotionally. Some people feel it really strongly physically. And sometimes it's a combination of both, right? So you might notice something like feeling intense fear or extremely stressed and not knowing why. Sometimes we see it in like apprehension or feeling tense and jumpy, right?
Yes.
We also see a lot of restlessness and sometimes even irritability can be a symptom or a sign of anxiety.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some of the physical symptoms are, I think anyone who's been nervous before can sort of relate with what like a mild form of anxiety would feel like, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that we might feel like racing heart, sweaty palms, short breath, shortness of breath, feeling like sometimes it manifests for me specifically in my stomach. So I get like feeling kind of sick to my stomach or like this worried feeling. There are other unpleasant symptoms that some people experience too that we don't necessarily need to go into on the podcast, but it can be a lot of like digestion issues.
Absolutely.
Which is really common. You know, it sounds unpleasant, and it is unpleasant, but it's common. And so I want to normalize that, you know, that like, that's a thing that a lot of people deal with, having the nervous tummy.
Recently I had a little bout of anxiety over something really, really odd. And I'm laughing because I'm laughing at like kind of the absurdity of it, but it still gives me really like quite a bit of anxiety. And this kind of, it's a specific, like a phobia. So, did I tell you about this? I saw a picture of a face that had eyeballs on it. I did tell you about this.
You did?
Yes.
No, I don't think you did. Did you?
Oh, I saw a picture of a face, and the face, it was on, I was typing in on my iPhone on the pictures part of the iPhone. I want to show somebody a picture of bleeding eyes. So I was looking up bleeding eyes, like, oh, my eyes are bleeding, because I saw something like terrifying. So I typed in bleeding eyes, and then this picture of a face that had googly eyes all over it appeared. And so the face is there and the googly eyes, and I felt frightened.
Like it just instantly sent you into a panic.
I had skin chills. Like I had like goosebumps all over my body. My thought, I couldn't like catch my thoughts. Like I couldn't focus. I couldn't look at the picture. Like I was like, I had to like take my phone and like turn it away from me and like touch buttons until I knew the picture wasn't there.
Oh my God. I'm sorry I'm laughing at you, because that sounds really terrible, but this, it resonates.
And this is like a high anxiety state that I was experiencing. So this isn't like a typical, I mean, this, and for some people, this is typical anxiety about everything they experience. But for me, it was
absolutely.
Just this picture giving me these feelings, and it lasted a few days. Like if I thought about the picture, I would have the same physical sensations and like skin crawling. If I thought about it, I didn't even need to see it anymore to have this anxiety in my body. If I thought about it, there I was right back there experiencing. And then I think it lasted 3 or 4 days, and I was under a lot of stress at the time with life and work and performances and little stuff like that. So everything was heightened, and it took some time for it to go away. Recently, I had a friend go through the Google Pictures thing and like make sure it was at the bottom so I can't see it. Like, so now I can send pictures
so smart.
Again.
Can you remove this from my phone so I don't have to come across it again, please?
But that, I mean, that's smart. Just, like I said, that's just like a really, really strong example of it. But there's other, there's much different varying degrees of anxiety.
Absolutely. And I like how you mentioned that it like lingered with you even after you weren't looking at the photo.
Oh my
gosh. Like, because that's so common. A lot of times people talk to me and they're like, I don't even know why I'm feeling anxious. It's just there. Like, I just feel like I'm buzzing, or I just feel tense or uneasy about something, and I don't even know what it is. I can't pinpoint what the reason is behind it. But that is so common. That's, I mean, anxiety does that, you know? So sometimes we know that it's like a hereditary thing, you know, like it can be genetic that like your family members are anxious people, and you might be too, right? So there might not necessarily be a reason that you're feeling anxious. It's just kind of part of what makes you you. There, of course, are some environmental reasons why people would be anxious, right? If they get, I mean, something like what you just explained, you know, there are things that can heighten anxiety.
I mean, people have like the anxieties of things like, you know, a very common one might be bugs. A very common one might be heights. And then there are some odd or strange ones that people might think are, like I said, the fear of like dots in a close cluster. That's mine. And then people might have anxiety about wide spaces, like open spaces. And then people have anxiety about being in like very enclosed spaces. There's a lot of
I mean, those phobias are we see that, right? That's a common thing.
Absolutely.
That people deal with. Also, sorry, the computer just beeped.
What is it telling you?
It's okay. It's just a virus protection thing, but I didn't know how to make it go away. But also, you know, things, other like daily things can make people anxious that sometimes people are surprised by, you know, like, some people have worry about driving. Some people have worry about speaking in front of others. Some people have fear of eating in front of others. Some people are just worried about talking in front of people in general. Social anxiety is a huge thing that we see now. Yes. Right. And I wonder, I mean, this is a little bit of a side note, but I wonder what, maybe another thing for you to explore on your podcast. I wonder if, our technological era has anything to do with that. You know, that
tell me more. Tell me more.
I don't know. I wonder, like, are we connecting less with people and like more reliant on communicating over devices like we are right now? Like you and I are doing.
So like, because of
something to do with it.
Because of the increase in technology and communicating via devices, people are less likely or more likely to have like social anxiety because they're not practicing it as much.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't have any hard evidence for that. I'm sure there is some research on that, but, you know, I see that students are gaming more often, that they're even just walking around, campus, I can see where students are having their face in their phone all the time instead of looking up at one another and engaging, you know?
Yes.
So, and of course we see that with our young people too. Children, you know, are on the game all the time or using phones at younger ages. And I just wonder what that is doing to our communication and to our willingness to like be in physical spaces and engage with people in that way.
There's definitely some implications and some like things that affect people due to the, to increased technology. And maybe Jody, you can come back and we can talk about this further.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a whole topic, right?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. We've got all the ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like looking at my notes and, it was, you know, they kind of talk about the different anxieties and, the main ones that we experience and explore are related to, you know, social anxiety. And with my work, I see a lot of anxiety disorders related to separation. So separation anxiety that kind of appears as like attachment issues and things like that. So I definitely see a lot of, anxiety with separation. So that's interesting.
Yeah. And you, cause you work with children, right?
I do. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I see that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying that it affects you as well because you're seeing the long-term effects of poor attachment, which I mean, isn't anxiety, but like, it's like related to this issues related to separation and not, you know, not having the support and
Yeah, I definitely see that in the college population because it's like you see them and then you hand them off to us, right? Because I work specifically with college students at a university and, we do see a lot of homesickness. So I think that that, you know, separation anxiety essentially, right? Being away from home and away from familiarity and the comfort of the things that they know and they're used to. That's one
and
of
it,
the,
and it affects, I mean, it actually impacts them, even just the anticipation of it. Can be
impacting. Yeah, absolutely. It's a very different world coming to college. But I think for me the highest kind of instance of anxiety that I see is really social anxiety. I mean, anxiety in general, like generalized anxiety for sure, but I have a lot of socially anxious students. So
we're working on that. What does that look like? So it would be someone that has difficulty maybe communicating to their teachers or what would it look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see instances where students are, you know, terrified to walk into a class even a minute late when everyone's already seated, you know, because you walk in and then all eyes are on you, right? So students will just, if they know they're going to be late, even if it's just a minute or just after class starts, they'll just walk right on by the classroom or turn around and go back home. You know, and then I think about things like that, right? How does that impact their grades then and their ability to, you know, because sometimes that manifests into a bigger problem where they missed one day and then they're embarrassed and afraid to talk to their professor because they're socially anxious, right? So they don't want to go to office hours. And before you know it, you've missed 3 entire weeks of class and then you come to therapy and say, I don't know what to do. You know,
right.
This happened to me and I didn't know what to do. I just stayed in my room for 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So it can look like that. It can look like difficulty engaging with friends, you know, mm-hmm. like a nervousness about being around people and do people really want me with them? Or are they just being nice or do they feel obligated to have me around, you know?
Yeah.
And also like fear of crowds or like large groups of people, even not necessarily large groups, but even like a handful of people can make people really anxious. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, very much so. I mean, there are all sorts of instances of how that could pan out, but I know it's a really common thing here for us.
So now that we've really kind of explored that, I recognize that I have anxiety. What do I do now? Like, I mean, like, I know that I'm anxious. I know that being in social interactions with people makes me anxious. Talking to my professor makes me, you know, so what do I do now? What's my next steps?
Well, I would always encourage people, you know, if we're talking specifically about social anxiety and anxiety in general, I guess it's, I know that reaching out for help can be really difficult, right? Mm-hmm. That can take a really strong person to reach out and say, hey, I need this help, right? So if you can't reach out to a professional, I would encourage you to maybe start with a friend or a family member, right? To start talking about what you're feeling, right? Start talking about what you're thinking, how this is impacting you. Or saying, you know, I think I should get some help, but I don't know how to do it, or I'm afraid to do it, right? So
yeah.
I would always encourage therapy. That's one of the first things that I think can help. You know, anxiety and depression are both very treatable. So I always am on my soapbox about go to therapy, right? Go, do it,
yes.
Because it will help, right? If you're willing to be open about it, it can be a very helpful tool. I also think that there are things that people can do on their own without therapy. Like there's a lot of self-help things that you can find on the internet. You can check out books from the library. You can purchase books. You can follow a blog. You know, mm-hmm. There are self-help groups online. So there's like social media groups where people who have anxiety or whatever it is that you're dealing with kind of gather together and support one another, which I think, you know, can be so therapeutic, having
yes.
other people who have dealt with it as well, or who are dealing with it, to kind of guide each other through and to kind of give those tips and techniques on what works for them to try. I also really think exercise and yoga, meditation, mindfulness, things like that can be really helpful and beneficial in reducing the kind of feelings, the symptoms, I guess, of anxiety. And of course, there's always medication as an option.
Right.
So I usually encourage people to try some of the other things before they go straight to medication, but that's really a personal choice. So if someone just wants to start with medication, we certainly wouldn't say, no, you can't do that. You have to do these other things first. But sometimes medication will help to get a person at a baseline. So they're not, you know, so some of the other interventions can work, you know?
Right. Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Those are really like
very practical, very easy things to do. So I can go talk to somebody. It sounds like there's a lot of resources available online as well. And then if I'm not doing any of those things, I can maybe get out and get a little fresh air, take a walk, get a little exercise. I think those are things that people can definitely try.
There's also some apps that people can download on their phone or their tablet that are specifically helpful in kind of managing symptoms of anxiety. I don't know if you want me to list any of my favorites, but you can always just look them up. You can look
Why wouldn't you list them? They might be somebody else's favorite.
I like
a couple of them, like Stop, Breathe, Think. I love that one.
Right. Yeah. And I use Headspace personally. And I also like the Calm app.
Yes. My coworker was talking about it today, literally. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And of course, you know, with apps, there are sometimes paid components, but the ones that we usually suggest to students here in my work are free, like the base version of it is free. So if you like it, you could pay. Like the cool thing about one of the, I can't remember which app it was. I think it might be Headspace.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. But as a student, so for young people, you could get it for $10 a, oh my gosh, I'm lying to you. I can't remember the cost, but the cost for a regular person trying to get it is much more substantial than for a student, right? So
yes. It's
cool if you're a young person, you're like, I have anxiety or I feel really anxious and I don't know if I have anxiety. That's something that maybe you could afford that lower cost for an entire year if you end up liking it. So the point is that they all have some sort of free component, or a majority of the ones that I would suggest have free components. But if you really liked it, you could pay for like the extended version of it.
Yeah. And I've been using Stop, Breathe, Think for, I think, 4 or 5 years, and I've never paid a penny, but it's
nice.
I love it. And it has
does it have breathing exercises,
meditations, breathing exercises, guided meditation. They have some guided walks, all of it's free, and they track all of it for you. So you can look back and see how frequently you've done it and all those things. And it's really, really effective.
Great.
And kids use it and they love it. And there's actually one for kids.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Like specifically for kids?
Yeah.
That's so cool. I've also used sometimes people are like, I don't want to download any apps. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. we'll try YouTube then. Even just YouTube. You could search your friends or your therapist could give you a few keywords to search, like guided imagery or deep breathing exercises, right?
Yes.
And you can go on YouTube, type those keywords in, and then you'll have thousands, if not millions, of videos to choose from. So I always encourage people, find someone with a lot of hits, listen to them, see if you like their voice, see if it's calming to you or irritating or whatever, and then decide if that's someone you want to listen to, right? And you can find out kind of more key phrases or different types of exercises that you like or prefer from starting there.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Something that you just said made me think about this, and I'm just curious. This kind of is in the same line of question, but it's kind of mm-hmm. not. Yeah. ASMR, yes or no?
Oh, I love ASMR.
You do?
It's a yes for me. Okay.
It's a yes. Oh my goodness. Which kind?
I watch so many ASMR videos.
Really?
If I have free time, you will find me scrolling Instagram for ASMR, like turning the volume all the way up, listening for the sweet, sweet sounds of titillating.
What?
Yeah, I love it so much, Galbet.
I
love it.
I don't even know.
Wait, do you like it?
I don't know if I like it. I can't tell. You know what? I think that I don't, because I think I would know. I think I would crave it. Like, I'd be like, ooh, I got to go hear some K sounds, you know?
I crave it. Yes, but here's the thing. You have to find the type of ASMR that really works for you. I mean, some people hate it, period, right? My coworker, Becca, hates chewing videos and I love them. She's like, if I start playing a chewing video, she's like, I'm out of here. Gone. I'm like, we'll listen during lunch sometimes. And she's like, I'm gone. I can't do it. I love them. But I also like sounds of like slime, you know, like when people are poking their fingers in slime, or I don't know. I'm a very aural person. So I like the little like tickly sounds, or like cutting soap cutting is a thing.
Wait, are you watching crunching. Them cut the soap, or you're hearing the sound of them cutting
the soap? You hear, and sand cutting, like kinetic sand. they will press it into a form and then cut it with a knife, but have like a lapel mic on the knife. So you can hear it going like as it's going through it. Oh, yeah, it's intense and I love it. I am an advocate for ASMR.
Well, I mean, the thing is people find a lot of different things soothing and some people have reported that that helps their anxiety. Like, and not that that is like a script or anything, but right. some people really enjoy it. It calms them. It soothes them, you know?
Oh, it absolutely does for me. Absolutely. Like I'm an anxious person and I like to do things that help me to reduce my anxiety. Cause I'm just like, I run anxious basically. And so that's one of the things that I turn to as like a calming, soothing technique.
And that's kind of along the lines of grounding, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, using your senses to deal with your anxiety or any unhappy feelings, unpleasant feelings, dealing with using your five senses, you know? And it sounds like that's using at least two of them. If you're watching somebody cut sand, oh my goodness. watching and listening to someone cut sand.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like the sensory experience really helps to bring me back to like my center, you know, like the here and now. Right.
Yes.
So I'm not just up in my head sort of spinning. I am like engaging my senses and it really helps.
And being present. I'm literally, I need to go watch somebody cut. I want to see the soap one.
I will send you my favorites. Okay. I will put you on to these Instagram pages.
Watching people play with slime is, I like it, but I think I enjoy touching it even more. Like I really want to like play with slime.
Yeah, me too. So, I love it.
I'm in the slime. Yeah. I just don't want to see slime that has like stuff, like somebody made slime and like made stuff come out of it. And that is against my little tiny dots thing.
Yeah. Yes. Your dot. Yep. The dot thing. Right. So it has to be very specific type of slime. It has to be like smooth or.
Yes. Rainbow unicorn slime, like pretty slime.
Yeah. Okay. You
know, yeah. That's the good slime.
You know what? It's so interesting how little things work for different people. Right. And so that's also a thing. It's like, find the thing that works for you. If you're feeling anxious, do things that you like, try all the things and see what feels pleasing to you and what helps to relax you.
Yes.
And because what works for one person might not work for the other, obviously. In the example that we just gave.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot more questions and, hold on a second. Let me look. I'm going to make a footnote so I can know to stop here. Cause I'm messing up.
You're not messing up. What do you mean you're messing? You're not messing up.
Maybe I'll leave it in. I'll leave in my shenanigans.
Or cut it out and put it in our bloopers.
This is going in the bloopers part. I was going to ask about so what brought us here was the intersection between fat and anxiety. And I wanted to kind of bring it back to those two worlds and how and what made us kind of put those two things together and tie it up with a nice little bow.
I think that what greater people to talk about these two things than two fat therapists, right?
Yes.
maybe we should start an entire project called Fat Therapists and invite all the fat therapists in the world to join us.
Well, that was my other thing because I thought that those two words aren't really seen together. And right. I don't know if I think that there's an idea that just like Fat Bitch, the t-shirt, the most amazing t-shirt ever. I thought that there's something that people would say about that in terms of those two words don't go together. Can you be both? Can you be fat and a therapist? You know, and I kind of thought about, do people think you can be as effective? You know, I kind of thought about those things. And sometimes I catch myself being like, you know, can those two things coexist? And I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, not even just fat in a therapist, but also anxious in a therapist, right? Because that's right. Something that I ask myself, the thing that you just said about fat in therapist is how mm-hmm. I also feel about feeling anxious in therapist. I've had people tell me, like friends tell me, it's really ironic that you're like this anxious and you're a therapist. And I'm like, wow. Is it? Because I'm a human, right? Like first and foremost, yes. I'm a human. And so I'm allowed to have my emotions and my feelings. And like, there are things that I can do to help with that, but I can't help that I'm an anxious person, right? So I feel that way about both being fat and being an anxious person. So,
and I worry that people don't know that just because you have anxiety doesn't mean you can't help people that do have anxiety.
Absolutely.
I think about that. I think about that all the time. I'm like, just because this is where I'm at doesn't mean that this impacts my ability to practice, you know.
You're absolutely right. And I think that that goes along with the fatness, right? I think there's this myth that, well, there's a lot that we could go into with that, but I know that there is a stereotype that like fat people are unwell, right? And so
right.
I think sometimes when people see us and we say we're therapists, they think, you know, I wonder mm-hmm. are people thinking like, okay, she might not be a very good therapist if she's fat, right? But I really don't think that that impacts my ability to be a good therapist at all. And in fact, I think it enriches my ability to be a good therapist.
By what way?
Because I think that I've got many years of experience and mm-hmm. work under me, trying to learn to become more insightful about who I am as a person and about how I can help other people.
Yeah.
And my journey to loving myself has helped me to really explore a lot of those feelings and kind of, I guess, prejudices or stereotypes against fat people. So I think that, you know, if I had never, I don't know if I'd ever have explored any of that if I hadn't been fat, you know?
Hmm.
I may have come to it from a different angle or through a different sort of roundabout way, but this is my experience and this is what I've been through and this is what I've known, you know? So I think that kind of that experience has helped me to be a better therapist, honestly. I think it's helped me to learn how to connect with people and how to be empathetic and how to treat people with kindness and respect, regardless of like how they're presenting to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the same way. I think that, cause I mean, I wear a couple other hats too. Like I'm also a coach and I also do the, you know, there's some other stuff that I do in my life. And I think sometimes that is the perception as well, is can you be good at other things if part of you isn't what people want in that type of person or what they think they right. want? Because you don't know, yeah. you don't know the effectiveness. You don't know how right. good I could be if I was to help you.
You have no
with,
idea.
No, yeah. none.
Right. It's assumptions. It's all assumptions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with this being the most meanwhile of all meanwhile things ever, there's a little button that you press if you have to cough. And I've like, I'm so sorry. Like I coughed and I was like, I just noticed it. So if you do need to press it, it's at the bottom. So.
Okay.
I was like, I felt so bad.
I feel like I've cleared my throat about 10 times. So I'm sorry for all the listeners.
No, I think that was like kind of ASMR for them. They were kind of like, yes. Throat clearing.
I hope so. I hope you all loved it.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah. But I really appreciate that. And I think that is why I just thought you would be the best, most amazing first guest ever. Just get it all out there. Get it all out
yes.
there.
Get it. Put it all out. I said today, we're just being real today. That's what we're being.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and I really so appreciate the opportunity to talk about this stuff because, you know, in my day-to-day life, I'm on the other end, like I'm asking the questions and I'm processing the stuff. It's nice to be able to just engage with another therapist about these identities that, you know, I don't work with any fat therapists really. So I don't know. Mm. And I mean, maybe even if I did, we still wouldn't have these conversations because we're working. So I appreciate this opportunity to have something like an avenue to discuss, these intersecting identities and how it impacts us.
I like it. And you, I know earlier you were kind of joking about fat therapist, but maybe it's a thing. Okay.
Maybe it's a thing. I hope it is a thing, girl.
Hashtag fat therapist. Well, that's starting tonight.
Yes. Everybody hashtag fat therapist.
Wait, is it the fat therapist or just fat therapist?
I don't know. I don't know what the hashtag should be because it's not just me, right? Fat therapist. It's everybody.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
I think the meaning, the spirit behind it could be like, for me, the spirit behind fat therapist would be loving yourself, right? Mm-hmm. As you are, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that we all have things that we're working on, but there was this quote that I have on my computer that I look at every day. Mm. And it says, you are allowed to be both a masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time. And I would add at the same damn time.
I love that.
Yeah. So love yourself, right? That's the spirit behind the fat therapist.
Say it again.
You are allowed to be both a masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time.
Oh, what is it on? Is it like on like a, did you get it off like a soup label? Where'd you get that?
You know, even know who to give this. I don't know who, if you are the author of this quote, please at us. Okay. Because I don't know who the author is. I just know that I found it on the internet and I put it right on the desktop of my computer so I can look at it every day. And so my clients can see it every day when they come in my office.
It's interesting though, that the word they said allowed, that's an interesting word to use in there. They didn't say you are, they said you are allowed, which is in a way giving permission and
So if you're hashtagging fat therapist, right? We want that to be like you loving yourself.
Yes.
But it's okay if you're not there yet because you're allowed to still be a work in progress, right? Yes. But you're a masterpiece.
At the same time.
That's right. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I did have some questions I want to ask you. So I don't know what this segment is going to be called. It's going to be like called like Hot Five, Fast Five.
Ooh, okay.
Which one? You said ooh. Which one was it? Which one?
I mean, Hot Five feels spicy. I like it.
Hot Five. Okay. So these are five questions. Just five. They're simple, easy little questions. And I will say, how do you measure success? That's a big one. That's a biggie.
That's not a fast question. Okay. How do I measure?
Well, this is a learning process for me. You're right. That is not a fast question.
I love it though. You should be like in five words or less. Tell me how you measure success.
Ooh, I like that. Super fast. Okay. Yeah. Well, you just did that to yourself.
What's that?
You just did that to yourself. So it's five words.
I did five words or less. Ooh, okay. I'm thinking of my words. Okay.
I can hear you thinking. I know. They can hear you thinking. Too. Okay. They can hear it. They're listening. Yeah. They're listening to your thought.
Can you hear the wheels turning?
Okay. They can. They're like, ooh, put some oil on those.
Okay. So, feeling fulfilled.
Ooh.
In my accomplishments.
Ooh.
That's five words or less, baby.
That was spot on. That is five words or less. Nailed
That's
it.
How I would know I was successful, if I felt fulfilled in my accomplishments. There you go.
In my account. That's perfect. All right. The rest of these, I'll make sure the rest of them are nice and tight. So night owl or morning person?
Oh, I'm a night owl through and through. I can howl at the moon all night.
I've seen it.
Yes.
Spending time in the mountains or laying on the beach?
Oh, that's a good one. I am a beach person. I want to be in the sun. I want my toes in the sand. I want a cool drink in my hand, like, I don't know, like Pepsi. Maybe a pina colada or a Pepsi. Okay. And I'm a water baby, so I need the ocean or some body of lake, or not body of lake, some body of water near me, like a lake or ocean preferably.
Ocean preferably, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Favorite time of year?
My favorite time of year. I like mild temperatures. I know I just said I love the beach, right? But if I'm on the beach, it has to be hot and I have to be by the water, right? But as far as seasons go, I love mild temperatures. So I live in Wisconsin, so we have all four seasons, very dramatically all four seasons. And so I love spring and fall.
Okay.
And there are also beautiful colors and scents during that time of year. Those times of year.
There are. It's like either it's fresh and fragrant or it's like crisp and
crisp. And like oranges and browns and it's beautiful.
Savory, like, you know, just such contrasting but still delightful seasons. Yummy, yummy.
Yes. And I'm not freezing my face off and I'm not melting my face off.
Well, nobody told you to live in the tundra.
That's true. I ask myself that all the time in the winter and the summer. I'm like, why do I live here?
So, and the last question is, what is one thing that you want the Meanwhile audience to take away from today? What's one thing you want them to take away?
I want them to... I would really hope that the Meanwhile audience would recognize that if they're struggling with something, they're not alone, and that they should feel allowed to reach out for help. There are people who care and people who are willing to hear you out and to try to help you. And you don't have to suffer alone. And we love you.
Yes, and we love you.
We love you. Yeah.
Jody, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate this so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's been a true joy.
Alrighty. Well, I'm going to press the button. To turn it off. So I'm about to stop. I'm going to press stop. But you can stay on. Stay on. Don't get off. I'm going to press stop.
Okay, I'll stay on. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.